Aber sagst du, we'll let you take a few readings, but we'll take the first one in Habakkuk, please, chapter 2 of Habakkuk. My brother this morning mentioned on the table 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul was by faith bringing the resurrection of our Saviour and Lord for those that didn't believe in the resurrection. I was reading in Romans chapter 1, which a boiler says that it takes three books in the New Testament to explain this verse in Habakkuk chapter 2. Well, we'll start in chapter 2, we'll start from verse 1, please. And it says, I will stand upon the watch, my watch, and set upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer them when I am approved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This morning, brothers and sisters, we read about Habakkuk. His name in the Hebrew means wrestle, a wrestler or embrace. And by his words, he wrestled with God about the sin of the Israelites. He was burdened by the question of why God allowed evil. And Habakkuk worshipped and loved God. And God is holy and he hates sin. You know, I was going to go on from somewhere here to another part. But last night, the Lord has spoke to me and I'm coming another way. See, little is known about Habakkuk except that he prophesies towards the end of the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us this in verse 3. And this is what I'm adding to this because it's what the Lord has put into my mind. I have my notes here to do something else, but I'm bringing this in as well. We may get it finished, maybe not. There'll be another day where we can finish it. In verse 3 of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, it tells us in verse 1. And we all know it well here because it's been read before. To everything is a season and a time, to everything purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal and a time to break down and a time to build up. a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance and a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together and a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose and a time to keep and a time to cast away and a time to love and a time to hate and a time of war and a time of peace. The other verses I've got are Exodus chapter 20. Can you come with me there, please? Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likenesses of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. In verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now we have the Lord's day. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In verse 12, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, and thou shalt not cover thy neighbour's house. In verse 19, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. See, they were afraid of God. Nobody seems to be afraid of God in these days. I'd like you to come with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, and coming in at verse 3. And we find at the beginning of the chapter, seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they that be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets were which were before you." So brothers and sisters, that's what I was asked to say before I really started the verses what we're coming to now. The three verses of Habakkuk to explain Habakkuk 2 and 4 is: the just shall live by faith. Romans 1 and 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Galatians chapter 3, verses 11, "But there is no man justified by the law in sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." These words have had a tremendous influence in many lives, among them Martin Luther and John Wesley. This morning, brothers and sisters, the theme of Romans is the just, how to be justified before God. And Galatians tells us how the just shall live. And Hebrews, the emphasis is in Hebrews, is on living by faith. It takes now three New Testament epistles to explain. And as we know, it's often said, the old is in the new, and the new is in the old. Brothers and sisters, this morning I was reading a piece out of paper I got yesterday. And it says this: something precious is lost with the decline in Christian values. I don't know the author of it. He's a political commentator. But he says this, which I was taken by. He says, "Is this still a Christian country? Easter weekend seems to be like a good time to ask the question, given the plummeting of churches' attendance and the general decline in the visibility for Christianity." He says this: "Rather than always bending over backwards to promote other faiths or establish, the church is fully entitled to tell the whole population of its own good news that Jesus is risen, and that indeed is the core of the function. I somewhat more a muscular approach to Christianity, including prioritizing the spread of Christian theology and making the Sunday theology service more relevant, rather than observantly dabbling in politics, which would be good. So many more people in our society appear to be lost in these days, among the young people in particular, and that is a growing and craving for the sense of belonging and direction. There is no reason why the next decade should not see a revival in Christianity, Christian values and identity, rather than another cycle of decline. If it doesn't, then all of us will have lost something precious. Christianity serves the both of freedom and tolerance for all. Now, I don't know where that boy's saved. I don't think he is saved. We've read God's word this morning. We've read from Ecclesiastes. We've read from Habakkuk, Ecclesiastes. We've read from Matthew. We've read from Exodus. We've read Romans 1 and 17. We've read Galatians 1, 3 and 11. And we've read Hebrews 3, 10 and 38. The theme is the just. It means to be justified and declared righteous by God and to live a righteous life. Righteousness is used in one form or another in the scripture 40 times. So brothers and sisters, this morning, John Newton said this: "Begone on unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. My prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Though dark be my way, since he is my guide, 'tis mine to obey, 'tis his to provide. Though systems be broken and creatures all fail, the world he has spoken shall surely prevail." You know, justification is God's gracious act by which he declares the believing sinner righteous in Jesus Christ because of the work of Calvary. The work of Calvary with the cross and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of our Saviour and Lord. Today, these last 3 days, we know that the celebration to the world is Easter. But we know it in the scripture as the Passover. The term Easter is not of a Christian origin. It was not instituted by Christ, nor was it connected with Lent. Pasch, pronounced P-A-S-C-H, as a pagan festival of Easter, was quite distant and was introduced into the apostolic Western religion as far as a part of an attempt to adopt pagan festivals to Christianity, W.E. Vine states. So Easter has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to heaven again. What a Saviour we have this morning, you know that. Someone called the resurrection. Someone called the resurrection of Jesus Christ the best attested fact in history. And today we read of 3 important pieces of evidence to support that claim. First, there was an empty tomb. No one had both opportunity or motive for removing the body. And the only explanation was the one given to the woman. He has risen. He has risen and is alive today. The Christian is the blessed hope that's in our breast this morning, that he has risen. Secondly, there was a testimony of the scripture which pointed forward to his death and his resurrection from the very start of the Bible. Thirdly, there was the witness of those two, of those who actually met him. Our brother was talking about this morning. Met him and talked with him after he had risen from the dead. Yes, he has risen from the dead. What a saviour we have this morning. You know, Easter is a big deal. But with the true believer, born again Christian, it is the foundation of our faith. We remember it every day. Remember it every day. Also, every Lord's Day, we remember it. And remember, because the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me until my coming. Matthew 18, verse 20. Even when there are two or three gather together, there am I in the midst of them. So it doesn't take a big building to fill it. It doesn't need a big crowd for him to be there. He'll be there with a two or three gather in my name. We sang this morning, the blessed assurance as Jesus is mine. You know, blessed. 1 Peter 1 and 15 tells us this. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of your conversation, or your conviction, or your salvation. It says here, W.P. Nicholson says this, and I thought it was a good point to bring before you this morning. Holiness and happiness. It says here, William Booth of the Salvation Army said, blessed means hilariously happy. It says this, imagine converted people being hilariously happy. Some of those Christian people, you see, they think they were not awake all the time. There's nothing to smile about. Well, they've everything to smile about. It says here that the converted people are at times they don't even, you wouldn't even get a smile at it. And no wonder we, instead of being a light to draw men and women to Christ, we're not an attraction, we're a distraction. The dictionary says the word holy is an Anglo-Saxon word. It means hallig. It means healthy. So holy, the holy person is healthy. Now that, how does that work out? It says it's healthy because he is happy because he is hilariously happy. Now I had to stop and look at that again. It says he's healthy, so he's a holy person, so he's happy because that he is hilariously happy. The word pure, according to Webster, means a separate, for all extinguished matter Nothing else is in it. It's untarnished. It's pure. Pure water, pure air, pure silver, or pure honey. How is it pure honey? It's because it's without the wax. Like manna, the heart that is pure and contains nothing adverse to God. Therefore, is hilariously happy and could not be nothing else but healthy. He says, hallelujah. And so it is. Brothers and sisters, we don't treat the salvation that we have enough and what God has given us. The God that paints the sunrise and the sunset, a new one every night and every morning. The God who puts the in the breast of the lark and the canary and the blackbird. The God which gives us the lovely flowers and the panoramic scenes of nature which thrills us. W.P. Nicholson says again, we could live without them, but how much happiness we would be depriving of ourselves if God hadn't given us them. Blessed assurance in Jesus is mine. It says in 1 John chapter 5 verses 10 and 12. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. So friend, this morning, if you don't believe God and leave the word that you've heard this morning, you're making God a liar. Because he that believeth not the record that God gave of his Son, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this is the life is in his Son. That he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. If you don't have Christ this morning, you have no life. Those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Saviour were in Christ this morning. Will not perish. If we die, we'll not die in our sin, because Calvary has covered it all. Remember, friend, this morning, as someone said, religion are man's search for God. Yes, religion's man's search for God. There are many religions. But friend, there's only one gospel. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died upon a cross and he was buried, and the third day he rose again from the dead. Yes, he has risen. Rome chapter 1, Paul the Apostle actually means the sent one, the separated one, the servant, the bond slave. And John Phillips says he was separated unto the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? I used that one meeting for the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We've already said it this morning, for therein is righteousness of God revealed, for faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. God holds, John Phillips also says that God holds all men accountable for certain basic truths and deliberate rejection from these truths and unbelief will be judged. If you don't believe God's word, you're calling him a liar. You know, Paul the Apostle read in Isaiah chapter 44 that the Lord Jesus Christ shall be his surety. He feels this, he feels his not his own, but bought with a price. David says this, he felt truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of a handmaiden. Thou hast loosed my bonds. So Paul felt when he lay grasping on the ground, Lord, what will thou have me to do? There's not only you get salvation that God gives you something to do. You know, before confession, the unconverted thinks that he is on his, that he is his own. And so we do, because we only think of ourselves. The question is, may I not do what I will with my own? It's like the clay saying to the potter, why are you making me thus? We can't do that. He was willing to be a slave of the devil, but when he sees the price is laid down for him, we find he feels that the Lord has redeemed him out of the house of bondage. You know, now he's saying, Miriam Hussein says, now he is saying, I am the Lord's. Now he is more the servant of the Lord than ever he was of the devil. And so we are. We were reading in Exodus chapter 20. I like you to read and go with me to Exodus chapter 21, please, if you may. The reason why I'm bringing this in, because God's laws show that he's concerned about everything. From 1 to 6 of 21, please, would you read with me? Now these are the judgments which are set before them. If they buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve ye, and in the seventh he shall go free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she were born, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife of her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, and my wife, and my children, and I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him in unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door of the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Paul was a servant. David was a servant. You and I are servants. We're saved by God's grace. You know, men and women, the Lord is concerned about everything. Men, women, children. And you, if you read in there, you find the unborn children, the property, even animals. This is God's creation, and he has the right to tell us how to manage it. The law did not change people's hearts, but it did help to control their conduct and give orders to the nation. Laws and governments have been instituted by God, and we should respect them. That's why I brought that reading from the newspaper. They've done away with God's law. They used to be religious in the mornings and in the schools. They've done away with that. There's nothing. Children don't get any religious education unless they go to a church. And if they don't go to the church, they get nothing. And sometimes the church that they go to, they don't get it anyway. But we find all these laws and governments are instituted by God, and we should respect them. Would you come with me to Romans chapter 13, and there I'll be finished. Romans chapter 13. It says this, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise over the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God and avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this is the cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attended continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all Jews tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honour to whom honour. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this, saying namely, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbour, therefore love is fulfilling the law. And that knowing that the time that is now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There is life for a look at the crucified one. The life at this moment for thee. Come, sinner, come. You only have to come, and he'll take you in. For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. This is God's word. You either believe it, or you reject it. And if you reject it, you're calling a liar. And friend, I wouldn't like to be called the God that made the heavens and the earth, and man therein and everything in it, a liar. Because someday you'll stand by and you'll be judged. If you die in your sin, you'll perish. Friend, don't be foolish. Take him at his word. Believe. For by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of what flesh any man. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you again for our time. We thank you, Father, for it. It's your word, believe it to thee. And we pray you'll go before it and use it to your glory and praise and honour. We thank you, Father, for the salvation of our souls. Yes. We thank you, Father, for the precious blood. Oh, Father, precious is the flow. It makes us white as snow. There is no other fount we know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We thank you in that name, the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, is Lord. Amen.